Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Good afternoon. Today is June 18th, 2022, and my name is Dolores Gines. I am a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Beta Omega Chapter in Kansas City, Missouri. I am here with M. Janice Comer, a Golden member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Beta Omega Chapter, Kansas City, Missouri. The title Golden means that M. Janice has met the 50-year milestone of membership in the sorority. We are here today to learn about her story as a woman of our illustrious Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. Janice, let's begin with you telling us something about your beginning. In fact, what we'll do, we'll have two parts. One part, we'll talk a little bit about you in the beginning, and then we'll get into talking about the sorority and your experience. Okay. So first of all, tell us where you were born and something about your family.
Okay. I was born at the University of Kansas on December the 19th, 1950. So that was primarily one of the only hospitals that African Americans could deliver babies at that time. And I am the first of twins. I have an identical twin sister who was born 6 minutes after me. We were premature. My mother never knew she was having twins until she had a pain after I was born. And she said, "Hey, I got a pain." And the doctor said, "Yeah, you got another baby," and slapped the gas mask on her face. So it was quite a shock. And we were premature, had to remain in the hospital for some time. I'm surprised to see that they do not put information like time of birth, weight at birth, on birth certificates that are as old as I am. So I don't have those kinds of details. But my twin sister and I are the third and fourth of a sibship of 12. My mother was married to a policeman, Charles Neves, who was killed in the 12th Street Massacre in Kansas City, Missouri, in 1948. And she met and married my father 2 years later, and then we were born. And the story is that both of them thought they couldn't have any more children. My oldest sister is 8 years older than us, and my father never had any kids. So these two come together thinking they're never going to have any kids, and 10 kids later, they realized it was just meant to be. So I'm from a sibship of 12, and I like to tell people that's because we're good Catholics, because a lot of people want to blame it on culture, and it's not because we're black, it's because we were good. My mother was a good practicing Catholic.
That is an interesting story and all. So tell us where you grew up, and tell us the names of your siblings.
Oh, okay. The oldest is Terry Neves, my sister Patricia Neves Williams, and then I come next, M. Denise Thomas, my twin sister, and then there's John Thomas, Stephen, Demita, Gina, Nita, Tony, and Penny, and Elena.
You actually remembered all of them.
Absolutely.
Are you married, and do you have any children?
I am a widow, and I have two adult children. My oldest child is a soror, Lauren Comer, and she has three children, Peyton, who is 8, Bryson, who is 4, and Jillian, who is 2 months old. I have a son who is who just turned 38. He's an attorney in Phoenix.
So I imagine that you are enjoying being a grandmother.
I had no idea it would be so grand.
Okay. Now, did you grow up in Kansas City or somewhere else?
I did. I found out when I was in graduate school that I'm a rare bird because I'm a native of Kansas City. And I was told nobody stays in Kansas City, but I did that. I grew up in the inner city, started at Sanford B. Ladd in the kindergarten. And in the third grade, my mother put us in Catholic schools. And so we went to Blessed Sacrament from the third grade to the eighth grade. And then I tell people I'm not schizophrenic. There really are two of us. It's my twin. We did everything together, okay? And so when we graduated from grade school in the eighth grade, there was a church family member, actually Mamie Hughes, who was a member of the Catholic Interracial Council, and she obtained a scholarship for Denise and I to go to Bishop Lillis High School. Otherwise, my family would not have been able to afford a Catholic high school education for us. And so we went to Lillis and graduated in 1968. I tell everybody I got a wonderful education, but I had no social life. As a student at Lillis, there were 6 African-American boys in my class, and 4 of them were shorter than my twin sister and I. And we never connected with the other students that were in public school, so we were fairly isolated.
What a story. That sounds like you really had an excellent experience there. Tell me, what college did you go to and what your major was, and when did you graduate?
Okay, so again, we went out to UMKC and intended to major in pre-med. And this was in 1968, and so there was absolutely no support, no counseling support to pursue those kinds of things. As a matter of fact, our first semester we had to take botany, and our teacher wanted to know, why are y'all in this class? I mean, you probably won't be any more than a beautician or a teacher, so why are y'all in this class? Well, that first semester was a rude awakening, and zoology came next. And I remember being determined that I was going to raise my GPA that second semester, and I literally hid out at Linda Hall Library, and I was successful. However, I knew that the beginning of the sophomore semester was when you took chemistry, and I'd heard it was a flunk out class, and I decided I wanted to stay around rather than risk anything at that point. So I decided I was going to change my major, and went to the academic advisors and told them I wanted to major in psychology. And they said, well, what are you going to do with it? And I'm thinking, what do other people do with a BA in psychology? And so they told me, you should major in sociology. You could do much more with sociology. Well, I loved the exact science of my psychology class. I remember getting into my first intro sociology class. It was at night, taught by an adjunct. And the first question the class asked him was, what is sociology? And he said, I don't know. Could be anything. And they said, well, what do sociologists do? And he said, I don't know. It could have been anything. So I just kind of dropped my head and wondered, what was I going to do to try to get through this? Because I had decided I would do what they recommended, but I was going to do what I wanted to. And so I got a double major in psychology and sociology in 4 years. Now, the sad part about that is if I'd had the encouragement, they would have told me that I needed a PhD in psychology and would have encouraged me to consider graduate school and those kinds of things. But that didn't happen. What happened was, by the time I got out of my senior year, I realized that I owed school so much money that I needed to stay in school so that I could pay them back and live the kind of lifestyle I thought I wanted to live. And so I went to graduate school at KU and got a master's degree in social work.
What a trip. And you did that without a whole lot of encouragement. That is a tremendous story. Tell me, when did you become a woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha? And what led you to become an AKA? That is, how did you decide that you wanted to do this?
Okay, so I had an aunt on my sister's side, actually, Antoinette Brown, who was an AKA, and she sponsored Denise and I as debutantes, and we were in the debutante class in 1967. And so that exposed us to the women of Alpha Kappa Alpha and provided us with a view to where we wanted to be. And in our sophomore year, spring semester, we were initiated on April the 26th, 1970. And in the city chapter with UMKC, Warrensburg, Emporia State Teachers College, and Baker University.
What was the name of that chapter?
That was Delta Upsilon.
Okay. And is Delta Upsilon still in existence today?
Unfortunately, it is not. Because of hazing, the chapter was dissolved. And there's an interesting connection to this, because in August of 1985, I went to the University of Central Missouri and began teaching in the social work program. And once the students knew I was there, they came to me and asked me if I would help them charter a chapter. And based on what had happened and based on our efforts to get back on campus, the university told us that we had to create a new chapter. They would not have anything to do with Delta Upsilon. And so I was the graduate advisor that chartered Pi Xi chapter at the University of Central Missouri.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about your occupation. That is, what you did before you went to teach on the college campus.
Absolutely. You know, life has been very good to me, and I try to be very focused and reality-based. So when I graduated from KU, I was doing an internship in the Office of Child Development, and I thought I wanted to work for the government. At the same time, one of my line sister's father called me and said he heard I was graduating with my master's degree and he had a job for me at Catholic Charities. So I had to think about this. Am I going to take the job that I know I have, or wait on the job I want? And my next car payment shocked me into reality and helped me understand you take the job at Catholic Charities. And so really, the Monday before I graduated, I started as the coordinator of minority adoptions at Catholic Charities. And I placed minority children, handicapped children, sibling groups, older children, and children with foreign adoptions. And so the history lesson here is the last foreign adoption I did was when Saigon fell.
Wow. Isn't that something? So what else did you do besides that? Did you go from Catholic Charities to the university?
Actually, I made a stop. I stayed at Catholic Charities for about 2.5 years and decided I wanted more of a challenge. But the director of the Office of Child Development told me when I graduated that I needed to get on a board. And he recommended I get on the board at Niles Home for Children, and I did. And so our director had a heart attack, and they created an assistant director position for him. And the board looked at me and said, and you should apply for it. And I was just shocked. And it was like, me? No, I don't think so. But I did, and I got the job. I was the deputy director of the Niles Home for Children from 1977 to 1985 when I went to teach at the university.
That was a wonderful situation there.
Oh, it was the absolute best group of professional colleagues that did absolutely amazing work with the kids that were there.
What offices or titles have you had within the sorority, within Alpha Kappa Alpha, at either the undergraduate or the graduate level?
Well, that was 50 years ago, so I really can't tell you what offices I had as an undergraduate. I know I had some. But then after I left, there was a break in my active membership. You know, when I was in graduate school and that was my focus. And so when I had my daughter, my line sisters came back to me and said, we want to charter a chapter. And so I am a charter member of Xi Tau Omega. And there I served as Grammatus, the first anti-basilisk and basilisk, and also as graduate advisor. I was graduate advisor until I came to Beta.
All right. How has Alpha Kappa Alpha impacted your life?
Oh, I think it's made it so rich. The surprise for me is, coming from a family of 12, I did not know that you celebrated births, that when somebody had a baby, you celebrated that. And when I had my daughter, my sisters had threw a big shower for me and showed me so much love and affection that we have just remained family. It has been a source of comfort to me to know that I could go anywhere and meet somebody that is my sister. I have been totally empowered with the opportunity to travel to Boulez, particularly I recall the one in Baltimore and the Centennial Boulez in Washington, D.C., where you see this sea of pink and green that everybody notices. I mean, they were still talking about our march down Pennsylvania Avenue when we went to the airport to return to our home cities. So it has provided me with role models to emulate. It has provided me with powerful information. I will never forget Patricia McLeod telling us that the reason we have issues with retention is because of what happens in our chapter meetings. And what a reminder it was to be sisterly to everybody. So I think it has provided me with lifelong lessons as well as a North Star.
Wonderful.
I will say this. The thing that I tried to impart on my undergraduates when I was a graduate advisor was our responsibility and obligation to exude poise and charm and grace. To me, that is the model we must follow.
You mentioned Boulez. Can you tell us what Boulez means?
Boulez is the biennial convention that the sorority has every 2 years, and on the odd numbered years, we have a leadership conference. And so I had the opportunity to attend several of those.
Very good. Think, if you will, what your most memorable AKA moment was.
Well, I would say that being at Xavier University in New Orleans to pin my daughter should be my number one memorable moment. I think there are lots and lots of them. You know, just being in a hotel room, which you saw, Roars, when you traveled to Emporia State, which brings up the most memorable. We were trying to get there to step with our sisters and had an accident. And our car ended up on the lawn in the library. And I later met a friend of mine who said, we laughed at y'all all year long about that accident. We didn't know the street didn't go through, and so we're trying to make the light and just ended up in the library. So that was the other not so happy but memorable moment.
Well, we can't say that you weren't focused. What have been some of your contributions to community service or to volunteer service through Alpha Kappa Alpha?
Let's see. I think the support of each Supreme Basilisk's program. So I've had the opportunity to present information at the ICAP program. I've had the opportunity. I think probably the greatest one was serving as a graduate advisor for so many years and impacting what the undergraduate chapters did and their community service efforts.
Tell us a little bit about what you did as a graduate advisor. What does a graduate advisor do?
Whoa, it is the hardest job in the chapter. It really is, because the sorority expects that you will be at every meeting that the undergraduate chapter has. So that's chapter meeting, that's committee meetings, that's executive committee meetings, and all the activities. So it is quite demanding. I think for me, I did a lot of police work because I was determined they were not going to cause me to lose my house by hazing or pledging anybody. But it is a very, very difficult task. I can recall one year the girls put out the flyers ready to host an informational, and they wanted to have a Panhellenic night where all of the Greeks got together to talk to the campus audience about sorority and fraternity life. Now, I had a rule. My rule was my car only drives to Warrensburg 50 miles away one time a day. But on this particular night, I needed to get back to Kansas City to take my son to pick up his instrument for middle school and get back down to Warrensburg for this 7 o'clock program. And I got down there, and I was so glad that I did, because I thought that my undergraduates had lost their mind. The stuff they were talking about, not just them, but also the other Divine Nine. And people were saying things like, I better not see you wearing my colors. I'm going to snatch my colors off. I'm like, excuse me? There was a summit, and all of the black sororities and fraternities decided that there would be an end to hazing and pledging. I mean, literally, the audience reflected more common sense than what I saw my sisters and brothers doing. And their belief was Nationals was wrong. They took away our heritage and our legacy, and we need to hold on to that. Well, let me tell you, after that meeting, I told my undergraduates, take them signs down. We're not having nothing. Oh, but Ms. Coleman, I said, you know, you might promise, but there's too much pressure on the campus for you to be able to deliver a line without something happening. They were furious with me, but I absolutely know it was the best decision that I could have made. Years later, when we planned another informational, there were several, but this particular one stands out because I was on that campus till 10 o'clock that night, teaching my classes, going to the information, doing all the paperwork, everybody's signing this commitment statement about they understand there's no hazing and pledging. You know, they called them girls out at 1:08 in the morning. We can't be there to supervise that kind of stuff, but that's what we're up against. I think that line probably got stopped as well. So I wasn't always the favorite graduate advisor on campus, and that was heartbreaking for me because I sure worked hard.
Well, it sounds like you had the role of a mother as well as a policeman and a guider. But that's what happens with parents. They've got to guide their children when they don't want to be guided.
That, and actually, I was trying to protect these girls from losing their pearls. We ended up with behind another incident where some sorors, we had to stop another line. And those were the most depressed kids I ever saw on campus because they had participated in stuff that they knew they should not have. Mm-hmm. And there were members of the chapter that got expelled. And that was my whole goal, to protect and prevent them from doing that, from losing their pearls. And they would say, but we wouldn't get any respect if we didn't do it right. I said, well, how much respect you got now? You ain't got no pearls. You can't function.
It sounds like it was an incredibly difficult job, but one that needed to be done. And I think the sorority thanks you for the tenacity of sticking in there.
Thank you.
What advice would you give sorors who are just now starting out in Alpha Kappa Alpha?
I think another thing that stood out for me and also stood out, I tried to transmit to my undergraduates is this is a lifelong commitment. AKA is so much bigger than what happens on any college campus. And my desire was to instill in them the intent to always be active and participate in the sorority. And it warms my heart to look back and see undergraduates that I've made participating in AKA activities and posting them on Facebook. That really does warm my heart.
Okay, we only have two or three more questions. Let me ask you this. What have you done or how have you impacted the lives of others in the community through your service with Alpha Kappa Alpha?
Okay, let's see. Well, certainly my leadership in both chapters has had an impact on the activities that were sponsored and how we executed those activities. Zeta Omega started the Little Miss AKA pageant, and we certainly made a difference in the lives of those young ladies, and we continue to be supportive of the debutante ball. That's my daughter and I still see that as our Cinderella signature night, and so I would encourage anybody and everybody to participate in that. Currently, I'm involved in strategic planning and standards, making certain that the sorority Beta Omega functions according to the international documents. And so as we execute programs, we are working very hard to get feedback from the community, from attendees, from participants, so that we can, in fact, measure the impact that we have on the community.
Tell us, what is it that you like most about being an Alpha Kappa Alpha woman?
We say we are widely recognized, often imitated, never duplicated, poise and charm and grace and class and everything in between.
All right. Tell us, what is it that you would like sorors to remember about you?
About me?
Mm-hmm.
I tried to model what I expect of others, you know. We don't always see what I think looks like poise and charm and grace. So I would certainly like to be somebody that others look to and say, oh, now I see what that looks like, or now I know what they're talking about. What I would like to see is maybe more focused attention in CHAPTA meetings so that people hear what they need to hear and minimize the distractions for others. And so that might be something that people will hear this year from me. So just to improve how we do what we do.
Sounds like you have a tremendous experience in Alpha Kappa Alpha. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
I think that what I want my legacy to be, both as a professional social worker, as an educator, and as an Alpha Kappa Alpha woman, is that when people think about me, they will say, "She made a difference."
Thank you so much, M. Janice, for sharing your story. This concludes the recording for M. Janice Comer, dated June 18th, 2022, at the Midwest Genealogy Library.